What are the chances for Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula to exploit the situation in Yemen to score some gains after bin Laden's setback?
A time of change and a time of uncertainty definitely creates potential for Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and Al-Qaeda everywhere to take advantage of that vacuum. We know that in Yemen, the military and security forces that were supposed to be fighting Al-Qaeda have turned into the capital now to face the demonstrators. So this is not a good sign. And this, again, creates, at least on the short-term, potential for Al-Qaeda to thrive. But at the same time, the change in that has led to the military to move into the capital is creating a new environment, a new atmosphere, where the youth are not looking for Al-Qaeda and for extremism as a goal to express themselves. If they are able to express themselves on the streets, if they're able to express themselves through political processes, it will cut them off in the long term. So, yes, on the short term, I'm worried.
You explained the daunting challenges facing the post-Saleh future of Yemen, including the Houthis, the separatists in the south, and of course Al-Qaeda presence. How would any leader following Abdullah Saleh would deal with such daunting challenges?
To concentrate on a leader that will come and fix things, I think is the wrong approach. What I think needs to be done for us to concentrate on the institutions within Yemen that will allow the southerners, the northerners, the street demonstrators, the traditional opposition to feel as part of the solution, all of them collectively, to come to the table through the institutions, not through individuals. What worries me about the whole change process, Mohammed, is not just what's going to happen afterwards because of political change. You follow Egypt very well, Mohammed, as I do. You follow Tunisia very well, as I do. And we see now that after the demands for change have succeeded, and right now we have new systems in place, the demands are coming for more populist solutions, the need for more jobs, the need for the private sector to be the generator of these jobs, the need for the people to be able to feel that they're the ones who are supporting their families, not just waiting for government handouts. This is what will bring dignity to them. In Tunisia and in Egypt, the demands have been for more populist solutions. We want to go to the past, where the government had gave us a social contract. They will guarantee healthcare, education, and they guarantee jobs for every graduate. This is untenable. We're still demanding for more subsidies on bread, subsidies on gas. In my opinion, God forbid, if these revolutions fail, it will be because of economic collapse, not because of the inability of the next leader to manage the North and the South. The economic collapse will come through capital flight. The companies that are now the place where you need to generate these jobs will escape. Why would I stay in a country that the policies do not support my ability to generate this wealth that is needed? So the fear and the danger for the collapse of these revolutions, again, God forbid, will be from economic collapse, and we need to watch against that.
Abdul Wahab Al-Kibsi, thank you for being with VOA.
Thank you very much.